Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com. I've been doing a lot of Stallone lately. A lot of Stallone thoughts on my Instagram page. And big fan. Big fan. How about you, Jabes?
You're a big fan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Surprising.
Well, surprising. Look, it's not just me. The numbers are in it at ST James, which is my Instagram. The numbers are in, and it's crazy how many people have fucking caught on to the Stallone thoughts. I mean,
it feels like he's really doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
which is what I like.
Feel like that's how his personality is.
I do too.
Never met him. Doesn't do a lot of interviews.
I've never met him either. I've never met Sylvester Stallone. I'm surprised by that.
I am too.
I feel like everyone. He's one I have not met.
Hmm.
And I follow him on Instagram. I can't tell if he lives like out in like the Palisades or Malibu maybe, but it's somewhere where you can see the water. So it's definitely not, you know, Beverly Hills or Bel Air.
I think he's a level of famous that you can live in Malibu. Like, he doesn't have to come down
for meetings
the mountain unless he really fucking wants to.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys who produces, directs, edits, fucking writes. The guy really does it all. He's supremely talented. And I bet he sets his own fucking schedule.
Yeah.
Hey. And he's got 3 daughters.
Yeah.
And they're all on his Instagram feed or whatever. Like, that's Stallone got back. You know what I'm saying? I think because he was a notorious womanizer, obviously, back in the day.
Oh, and then he had daughters.
Three daughters.
Yes, yes. That's 3 daughters. How it works.
So they're hot. And it's like you can tell on the Instagram. He's just like, oh, boy.
Everything's like trouble. Like,
yeah.
Every post is like, boy, I'm in trouble.
It's just a lot of like looks of like, oh man.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have the honorable distinction of getting hit on by Frank Stallone.
I do.
So it was, I would say you're, you know, one degree of separation. If Sylvester Stallone was a Kevin Bacon game, you're one degree of separation from Sylvester Stallone.
I was more excited about the Frank Stallone situation.
That you got hit on?
Because of Barfly and then like Norm MacDonald's whole bit that he did with Frank Stallone.
I don't know that, I don't think.
It was on Saturday Night Live when he was doing Update.
Okay.
and he would always do this like thing where the punchline was Frank Stallone, like this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he's so unknown and he's just like this, the forgotten brother of the super famous Stallone. So it was funny.
It was a funny bit.
I'm not doing it any justice whatsoever. But it was funny when Norm Macdonald did it.
He's a singer.
He is now.
Well, no, he was back in the day because he did songs on all the Rocky soundtracks.
Okay.
And we had a very pleasant surprise when we went to Sundance. We went, they invited us for the premiere of Range 15 trailer. Mm-hmm. Then they did a whole veterans segment there. And then we had this after party afterwards, which was a fucking rager. Like, it was awesome.
It was.
It was a great party.
Yeah. People getting kicked out, people trying to sneak in. I mean, it was one of the cops came.
Yeah, yeah. Police came. It was great.
It was the hot ticket for the evening.
But what was surprising was one of the publicists was like, hey, we have somebody who wants to come and play and volunteers to play at the thing or whatever. Super famous. Super famous. And I was like, oh.
And
shit.
I just hear Norm Macdonald's voice.
Who?
Frank.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, man, who are we getting? Like, and I thought it was going to be somebody like Ed Sheeran, maybe like an acoustic singer because we were a small place.
Sure.
And I was like, but it is Sundance. We were like, all right. Great.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get maybe like a Demi Lovato or somebody coming to sing acoustic.
Sure. Sure.
And then, but because she was so excited, the publicist was so excited.
Okay, so she was like, oh my God, you think it's...
Oh, totally. So her excitement got
me... Well, that's publicist's job.
Got my entire dick ramped up. And sure. Then, you know, I was... I'm full of guesses. And I'm just throwing out people. Dave Matthews, you know, like acoustic singers. Because I knew what kind of bar we were in. And, you know, I'm raveling off all of these acoustic singers. No. And then when you can tell in people's voices when disappointment is setting in, when they're like, no. And I was like, fuck, just who? I'm out of guesses. Frank Stallone. And I was like, and I had to ask initially. I was like, is that the son? Is that the son? And she, no, the son's dead. And I was like, okay. And I was like, Sage, and that was Sage Stallone. I was informed, and I was like, oh, okay, overdose.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And I was like, she was like, that's his brother. He did those, you know, songs on the Rockies soundtrack and all that other stuff. So I had to go back and look it up. Sure enough, it was true. And then Frank Stallone, when he walked in, looks very similar to Sylvester Stallone,
but without like a lot of steroids.
Yeah.
So I think it's how Sylvester Stallone should look right now.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
Without the steroids and the whole normal older dude, obviously used to be good looking, you know.
Yeah.
And is now like a kind of good looking older dude. Frank
Stallone.
Right.
This is Frank Stallone. yeah, but then, you know, he played like five songs and I laughed. Probably all like the entire time.
It was delightful, though.
It was.
It wasn't that.
It wasn't like he was bad or anything. It's just like
it was.
Never in my life did I picture myself at a party where Frank Stallone would be playing a medley of his hits.
Sure.
At one of my parties.
Sure.
And that happened.
Bucket list. Yeah. Sure.
Hashtag. Sure. Bucket list. Hashtag. Live, laugh, love.
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So all of that. And when he was up there, I was like, holy shit. I remember taking a few photos for myself, snapping a few pics for myself. And I was like, no one would believe me that Frank Stallone was playing at this thing. And then I saw him at like backstage, which is the kitchen area at this bar.
Yeah.
And I got a picture with him. I got a picture with Frank Stallone. Nice. Frank Stallone. But when I walked in, he was hitting on you.
Sure.
Which was nice. What was said during that conversation?
I don't know. I don't even know.
You don't remember at all?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I was so at like a party.
He didn't lean like on a good line, like a good one-liner?
Hey. No, I think he was just trying to like figure out the deal with the party, what involvement. I think he might have thought I was a publicist.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
kind of like getting his next gig. And I didn't tell him any different, you know?
Why not? Yeah.
When you've got Frank Stallone talking, you keep him talking.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
So what did you say to him? Like, hey, really love that set.
Really love that set. I think we can use you again.
Oh, you did not.
No, I didn't. I promised him a certain sum of money. I might have signed something. I don't know. But I kept him talking. You know,
amazing.
I didn't. I don't know what he was saying. It was a party. I was drunk. Whatever. Frank Stallone was talking to me. He didn't have any amazing lines. You know,
I let it continue. By the way, because I thought, why not? What's going to happen?
I'm going to leave with Frank.
I saw it going on, and I was like, the laughter inside of me was so much that I just watched on, and it was amazing. Just wondering what lines a 70-year-old Frank Stallone was feeding you.
And when someone like that,
I didn't stop it.
I'm sure not. You stood in the wings and watched the show and then kind of like popped in when you thought, she might be getting uncomfortable.
Yeah. Towards the end. I let it go on.
You're going to save me
a good 10 minutes.
Now, when
though.
Someone like that hits on you, it's not a compliment. Like, you're not the hottest gal there. Do you know what I mean? What it means is you're at a level. Like, Frank Stallone goes surveys.
Sure.
Obviously. He does many shows, I'm sure. Surveys. Obviously. He bumps off the girls that are, like, so hot, so young. There's no way, right? No, pointless. And then he goes to, like, second, third tier of people where he can, like, they're going to be nice.
Hey, I might be able to share a screw with her.
Yeah. They're not bitchy enough that they're going to just be like, whatever, dad. Okay, father time. But they're going to, you know, talk to him and be nice at least. And that's the level that he went to.
Yes or no, do you think Frank Stallone boned that night?
I think yes. And I think it was probably the publicist.
I was just going to say, yeah.
All the way the hair, yep. All the way down.
Yeah. I was just going to say the same thing. If he did leave, yeah, I think it was going to be her. Because her excitement was really unabashed. And I think at the end of the night, Frank was just like, well, this is what I'm left with. I guess I'm going to bone the publicist.
Have we talked about publicists, like their whole gig and how completely hilarious
and ridiculous
it is?
Yeah, I'll discuss it. But there is two sides of publicists. Same with agents and managers in Hollywood, where there is great publicists who are just over all of the shit, who are not excited about anything. Those are the great ones. They don't want to be in pictures. They do want to be in the background. Like
they give it to you straight. I just want to meet one that like gives it to you straight. Like, this is not great, but you got to do it.
Yes. And so I had a really, really great one for 10 years, long time. And it was just very dry, deadpanned, just like, hey, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Great.
I'm into that.
Same. And she was fantastic. And like every single magazine I did, interview, all of that shit, it was exactly that straight talk of like, hey, this isn't the biggest, but you got to do it to get this other thing. This party isn't going to be great tonight. Don't go to this premiere. Don't do this. Like, do this, like that type of shit. And it was just like, all right, great. We had a really honest, open rapport. Mm-hmm. The one thing that it's the same thing with agents on that other side of it was she got big enough that, you know, the lower people, if you weren't super fucking famous, like you kind of just get left at the wayside at that point.
Yeah.
Same with agents and managers. And so there is great publicists, but you've got to be at a level of where they've seen it all and done it all. Like they're not looking for money anymore. Whereas with publicists who are super eager and new and don't have huge clients, they make you think that everything is the most important thing on the planet. Every single party, person, all of this is amazing and it's so great and it's so great. It's gonna be amazing. But they're also trying to, it's a monthly job. So they're trying to get more months out of you.
Right.
Payment wise. So it's like, yeah, they want to make you feel as if all of this shit is super important when it's not.
Right.
I always now call publicists on their bullshit where it's just like, hey, man, I fucking know this interview sucks, or I know this event sucks. Like, let's try to do better.
Right.
But, you know, same with agents and managers. The higher ones up will are only excited about trying to get you auditions for fucking Iron Man or the Avengers or shit like that. The lower ones are trying to make you feel amped about a guest star on True TV. You know, where it's just like, hey, you're going to be on Impractical Jokers and it's going to be awesome.
Right.
And it's
right,
that same level of excitement where you're just like, what? What am I doing? Yeah, no, it's Impractical Jokers on True TV.
Sure. Fun.
Yeah.
I always remember I was talking to a publicist. I think it was for like one of the first movies that I did, and I was dating someone, and she was like, what do you do? And he was like, oh, I'm like medical supplies. And she's like, fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, what, didn't even hear what he said. Nope. And just like turned and was like, fun.
That's every answer.
And
fun.
At that moment, and I have never been at a level that a publicist would give that much of a shit about me, but I've had a couple throughout the like
movies,
different movies, yeah, and different things that you're doing. None that's like just mine, but ones that you deal with. And that's just always the vibe that I get. And every time you like go talk to the publicist, I'm always just like, fuck, this is just going to be so.
Yeah.
And I get very weird when people get really excited and weird around me. Like I shut down. Like I can't, cause I'll never be able to get to that level.
Right.
So I just like shut down. And then I'm like a weird, quiet person, and they're like in your face like, are you so excited? No. And I'm like, I'm not, I'm just, I just want to know what I need to do. And
I'm
like,
at a medium excitement level.
I'm just at a normal, you know, I'm excited, I'm nervous, there's all different kinds of things. I'm the person that has to be on the stage or do the Q&A or whatever, so like please just like try and make me feel comfortable about what's going on, not like,
right,
anxiety about like my level of excitement.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm a publicist dream, and we're in the fact that like interview wise and all of that shit, they know that they're gonna get the goods every single time. Like I'll throw down every time, but like,
right.
I can see through publicists who are at a lower level where it's, they're trying to get you to do, you know, online Scranton paper where you're just like, but it's conducted by a 12-year-old, you know, where it's just like, oh, it was take your son to work day and you've got to do, yeah, and you're there and you're like, all right, cool. I always do it and I'm always gracious and all of that stuff, but you sit there and you're like, motherfucker, did I come out, put on a suit and do all this shit to talk to a 12-year-old tonight?
Right. Again, for me, I'm down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I'm down to do it because I don't do a lot of that stuff, so I'm down. But I just,
well,
like,
when it's pitched to you of like, oh my God, this will be amazing. Yeah, and you show up and there's a 12-year-old holding a microphone, yeah, and it's literally somebody's kid. Not like that's not a joke.
If they just tell me that, I'm down.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do it.
Yes.
Don't give me a reason to like dress up and party afterwards. Like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, but anyways, I think that's just in life with like, there's publicist type people in life, right?
Yes.
That I can't handle.
Yeah, you have to be super excited about a lot of shit. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not.
I'm not either.
Okay.
I'm not. Like, I can't get to that.
Bad. I never get like excited about anything.
I get excited about stuff. Yeah, I get excited about stuff. I know it so well though that it's, you know.
God, I mean, things can just be pulled out from under you, and that's across the board in life, right? I think that's where I'm at, where like things can be pulled out from under you at the very last second, even when you already have it.
Yeah.
Someone can accuse you of something, whatever. I know, as far as whatever, any level, things can just be taken away from you in a second.
Yeah.
The excitement is like, this is cool, but I'm also like kind of always waiting for like what the next thing is going to be, right?
Sure.
What is the next thing they're going to tell me? It is this, but you have to do that.
Yeah. And that's happened to me. Like, I've been promised the Howard Stern show.
Sure.
Probably 7 or 8 times now at this point in my career.
Don't get
Never
excited
happens.
About it.
No.
Because might not happen. You can only get excited about it after it happens. You see it on the thing. You hear it.
Yeah.
Because 100%. Even after you do it, you don't know if they're going to pull it. You don't know if somebody, if you said something, somebody else said something, whatever. So you literally, like, that's, I guess, probably where I've learned it, where you've learned it.
In case in point is we have some huge guests coming on over the next month, right?
Yeah.
I do not get excited until after I've physically left the interview and it's on a drive for me to take home. And I know that I got it. The one I did over the weekend, I'm not going to say who it is because we're going to save it for March Madness. But it was, again, one of those things where it was like, until I physically had that drive in my hand after it was over, I didn't think it was going down.
Yep.
I didn't believe it. And I wasn't that excited for it. Like, even when I flew there, like, it was a normal day, you know, got an omelet for breakfast, went to the gym, came home, came back to the hotel, worked on some of those spell check notes for the book. And that was it. Woke up in the morning, went to the gym. And then, great, even on the venue when they told me, and I met him, I was like, great, until this is in my hand, I'm not fucking excited.
It's true.
Afterwards, I was amped.
Right. It's true, because they could pull out at any second.
Yes.
Like, again, I don't know if maybe it's jaded from the business that we're in, or life, or I don't know.
Mine is from the business that we're in, because I've had so many misses on movies. Like, people have cast in movies.
Yeah.
So many misses that it was like, so-and-so was going to do this or so-and-so was going to do that. And something fucked up happened along the way. And, you know, also, not that it's their fault all the time. Like, sometimes just life gets involved and you're like, oh, shit. This is why this thing go down. Like yesterday, Kevin Smith had a heart attack.
Yeah.
This Widowmaker heart attack that he almost died. Mm-hmm. We tried to get him on Drinking Bros.
Okay.
For the LA shows coming up.
Right.
We've sent in, I don't know, 3 or 4 emails at this point going back and forth. And because our schedules sync up, we're in LA at the same time.
Right.
And we thought maybe there was a possibility it's going to happen. That's dead.
Now, definitely not.
Yes. I don't mean to say dead, but the interview. He is alive today.
He's alive.
Today. When the show airs.
No, when you catch the Widowmaker, if you live through that, like, there's stuff they can do.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. But yeah, you never know what's
going to happen. But that's one of them where, all right, that interview is gone now. At no point in me, like, at no point did I ever get excited about it where I was just like, all right, cool. It was just another part of the day. So.
Yeah, like, my friends will be like, why you never say like what you're in or like what you're doing, like what's coming up. Like, you're so secretive. And I'm like, I'm not people that aren't in the business. I'm like, I'm not secretive. It's just like, I can't explain to you like how day to day this business is. Like,
right.
I could have a script. It could have funding. I could be driving to the fucking set and I get there and it's like production closed, done, something happened, whatever. Like, so I'm not going to say, I feel like I always felt like it was an amateur move to like put all your cards on the table before it's in the bag and out, like a date of release.
Right.
Because how many? Because otherwise I have done, if I did tell everyone, they would think I've done 20, 30 movies probably, or projects.
Yeah.
Now they know the ones that I've done because they can see them. Not the like, whatever happened to that one? It's like, I don't know. It's not my deal. I do it and then.
Right. Mine, I learned on the first one, which was The New Guy. It got pushed. We shot it and it got pushed for 2 years.
Yeah.
So we were done filming for 2 years and then it came out.
And then I don't want to bring it up, but like, you had something, you've been like, your scenes not have been cut, but like, right?
For what?
Movies? Yeah, movies. Oh, yeah. Like, anyone that's been in the business 100%. Has been cut from shit. But like, you learn on that. You invite people.
Yeah. Because I mean, look, and we'll start. I'll start with The New Guy. The posters and the ad campaign had come out when the original release date was supposed to be.
Okay.
So they were in theaters, like the poster of, and I was on it for almost a year. So like, all of my friends and everybody I'd, you know, college, high school, everybody I'd met in my life had been seeing this poster in their local theaters all over the country for almost a year. And I was hammered over and over and over again. When is this movie coming out? And it got pushed 3 times.
Yeah.
So there was 3 different release dates. I didn't know. And it was just like, oh boy, I don't know anymore. And I had to answer those questions for close to 2 years. It was miserable.
Yeah.
Absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
Then you've had other movies like the one I did with Winona Ryder. well, and Joseph Fine, where it was just like, I had a movie called The Darwin Awards. It's not good, so I'm going to save you from going to see it. But it was at Sundance. I had an 8-minute scene with Winona Ryder, and it was to lead off the movie. I found out on the street when I got there that that scene had gotten cut with Winona Ryder, and the director's like, "Oh, your other scenes are in there." And I was like,
"Okay," because I was going to say you're in it.
Yeah. I have like two other scenes in it, but like.
That was going to be a really pivotal, like, amazing scene.
Oh, yeah.
Reel and back when you did
And we
reels.
Shot it. Like, it took 2 days to shoot. It was a big scene. And nuked. And so, like, you know, I can't even tell. I couldn't even tell anybody that I was in a movie with Winona Ryder and I had this amazing scene with her for 8 minutes. Like, it didn't even end up on the, they didn't do extras on the DVD.
Right.
So I didn't even have the footage. I have nothing of that. I have no, and like, you don't take pictures with yourself on set like that back then. Like, social media wasn't as huge, so like now you're trying to promote the movie all the time and do all the shit. Then you didn't, so like I didn't even get a picture with her, nothing. Like and that's one of those things where you try to tell people and it's just like, oh, I didn't see you on that. Oh, you were?
Yeah,
you were. I didn't see you with that scene. Yeah. I was just like, I can't explain it, and it sucks. So I've learned shit even on the first movie, which was Miracle in Lane 2.
Oh, that one you've told on this.
I have. I've told the story on the show where
the
I'm in this scene with Frankie Muniz. You know, it's on Disney Channel. It's airing at Christmas. Like, whole family's gathered around. I have like three lines and then I lift him up. He was in a wheelchair. He played in a kid in a wheelchair.
Sure.
And I lift him up. He hits like the game-winning home run. I lift him up above my head and, you know, carry him around this the field. All of my, you can hear my lines, all of my body and face and was cut, and it's just my arms holding Frankie Muniz above. And not only that, but I had to hold that little fucker above my head in a wheelchair for like 2 hours that day. Yeah. I was so sore.
Right. Small guy, but not, you know,
but
not
the wheelchair,
small
like all of it. Yeah.
Listen, a 5-pound thing will get tired. Totally. Right here. To button this up, as you would say, I don't really even tell people I'm an actor, because if I don't want to go through the thing of like, what have I, that question of what have I seen you in?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have to ask me that, then I haven't.
Keeps going down the road.
I haven't really done, you know, like, then I'm not really an actor. I don't really know. But like, if you have to ask me what I've been in.
There's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So mine is people don't know my name. But they'll be like, dude, you were in that guy and that
right.
thing.
I get that with you.
Yeah.
We'll be like, what is it? And then that's even embarrassing too. Cause I'll start with high school. Do I know you from work?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I don't want to be like, oh, well, I was in one thing you might have maybe seen.
Sure.
Everything else would be a miracle if you did. But do like just that. I'll be like, you know. And it used to be like when I was at a restaurant. Like working, like serving them.
Right.
And they're like, what have I? And you tell them.
What are you doing working here?
Yeah.
Because you used to get like, that all the time, right?
Yeah. And then and I was just like, and that's even embarrassing. Cause you're like, clearly
worse.
I'm not killing it.
Yeah. It had to be
ketchup?
Worse where
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I was, it's an independent film.
Way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse. Because people don't understand
Do you want more butter?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was me. Oh my God. You were awesome. Thank you.
Can I have another glass of Chardonnay?
You know what, though? This is so cold. You know what I mean? Like complaining. And it's like, thanks. Yeah. So there was that element that I also think deterred me from saying that I was an actor or talking about stuff that I'd been in or whatever, because it's like there was, yeah, I don't know.
It's hilarious.
When you're doing their hair or some, you know, we all,
sure.
You have to do other things sometimes before you get to whatever. So.
That's funny.
But anyway.
But look, we went on a tirade.
Sorry.
We got to get to sponsors. Sponsors, Jabes. First and foremost, talking about blackriflecoffee.com. Hold up the cup. Hold up the mugs. We give a lot of shine there. Look, they're a premium roast-to-order coffee. They make it in-house and then, boom, ship it out to you in 2 to 3 days. And we give a lot of shine to the K-cups and the bags, but they're fucking hold up that mug.
Look, this is like a tin, like a cowboy style, you guys. So it's like metal,
yes.
Keeps it warm for a long time. Look at this. Look at this. I mean,
all of their products off of blackriflecoffee.com are crazy awesome. Yeah. Where it's like, dude, their mugs are amazing. Their thermals, like everything they have is fucking incredible, including their apparel.
Yep.
And I think that's why their company is as big as it's getting, is because you could do cheap shit all the way around and it's like sell trinkets and things like that. But like they take less of a profit just to make their shit cool. Or you're like, dope.
Yeah. And they get it. Like this whole thing, like everyone knows the like metal cowboy cup, like
it's
just so cool.
It's like, an awesome
fucking
coffee cup.
Get it.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Join the coffee club. The subscription of the month club is the jam. They'll ship the coffee to your house. You don't have to fucking leave. It's about $4 cheaper than Costco. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use the promo code REVOLUTION. It's only a one-time use. It's only a one-time
Only a one-time.
Because they're getting huge. Next up, we've got StrikeForceEnergy.com.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, sorry, I thought there was another boom coming out of you.
I wasn't ready.
I thought there was another boom coming. No?
Did you?
Give me one more.
Boom.
There we go. StrikeForceEnergy.com is the premier energy drink in the biz. I know I've been showing this on every show and talking about the grape. I keep highlighting the grape because it's the fucking best. If you put it in water or LaCroix or something like that, you'll drink the shit all day. Last longer than 5 hour energy. You can kick the can, kids. You don't need the can anymore. You don't need Kickstart. You don't need Monster, Red Bull, any of that bullshit. This is just a tasty, tiny little tin pouch. Rip it open, squeeze it into any liquid available, and you're good to go, including like beers, waters, or any of that shit, liquors. And they've also got a subscription to the month club, which is rad. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off at StrikeForceEnergy.com. They've also got a 750 milliliter bottle that sits on your countertop or bar top. And you can pop a couple squirts in and boom, boom, be on your fucking way. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code REVOLUTION, 20% off. Next up, we've got StraightRazors.com. Oh, James, you're a little down on your impressions. They're not up. They're not up today where we need them to be.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'll be more excited.
There we go. Fun.
Fun. Straight Razors.
There we go. StraightRazors.com. Day one, homies. Day one, homies. And they just put out some shampoo and conditioner that's dope. If you're a fucking dude on this planet, you need man shit, go to straightrazors.com. Trust me, their aftershave, that Smolder, is my jam. Use it every fucking day. So is their cologne, Smolder as well. All their shampoos and conditioners are Smolder. I don't know what scent that is. And I think they have a patent on it or whatever it is, but it's the fucking best. They also have beard oils, mustache waxes, you name it. Straightrazors.com has got the ultimate shit for dudes. Just manscaping. Go to straightrazors.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Are you just staring at yourself in the camera, Jabes? God, what are you doing? What are you doing anymore?
I'm just having some fun.
Go to straightrazors.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Support the show. Last but not least, we've got the Kayu app. That's K-A-Y-U. It's a new app dropping March 10th. March 10th, the app drops. What would you classify it as, Japes?
I would say it's kind of like Meetup.
Okay.
It's like everyone knows the Meetup app. So it's a cross between like Meetup, Airbnb, Tinder.
Yeah. Imagine all of those apps combined into one. Let's say you're, again, going on vacation somewhere, or you're going to Coachella and you're looking to split the cost, maybe share a house, a hotel, or just go hiking or camping with somebody. Go to Kayu app and it'll pair up like-minded people like yourself. They're throwing
Is it good for like groups, right?
Groups.
So it's like the same kind of deal like what Drinking Bros do, where it's like, hey, I'm in this town. I like to do this. How many people want to get together?
But you can share costs and traveling and all of that shit. And they're throwing a huge St. Patrick's Day party in Charleston, South Carolina. And you get to drink at the bars for free afterwards if you have the app on your phone. I believe St. Patrick's Day is March 17th this year. And the app drops March 10th. Should be a fucking blast. So look out for the Kayu app that's coming up. Look, I want to dive into this fucking transgendered wrestler that happened. You've got a lot of weird eye movements over there. Some people have been commenting on it.
What?
You notice that? You're going up Brando style a lot. Yeah. Are you feeling right today?
What? No, I'm annoyed.
Oh, okay.
All right. The wrestler.
I'm just making sure you're all right.
No, you're coming for me.
No, I'm making sure you're okay.
I feel a little bit like you're encroaching.
No, I'm not. I'm making sure that you're not having a widowmaker like Kevin Smith. Like, I want to get you out and safely to the hospital.
I'm good, bro. I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. All right, dog. I'm good, man.
All right, doggy.
Okay. Don't you fucking worry about me, bud.
Yeah. So a transgender wrestler won the state title again in Texas. A guy by the name of Mac Beggs. The name has changed already, but like the body hasn't. She is currently in the process of transitioning from female to male. However, in that process, you're taking low doses of testosterone and also steroid therapy as a girl.
Started out as a girl.
She is still a girl.
What was she born?
Born female.
Born female. Okay. So now
is transitioning into male.
Okay.
Has changed the name. So it's a dude's name.
Okay. And what the deal is that she, in order to transition, she needs to take
steroids,
basically banned substances for anyone else.
Yes.
But since she's transitioning.
Testosterone, steroids. This has been going on. This is the second time she has won the state title beating girls in wrestling. Last year, they tried to sue. There was a case and it got tossed out of court. It was dismissed. They're claiming whatever you were born as on your birth certificate is what you are and wrestling as. So she is still a female because the transition hasn't fully happened. However, she has been taking testosterone and steroid therapy to get ready for this transition as a male. She's killing these girls.
Yeah.
Smashing them. So like,
yeah.
When she won, you know, the parents and the students were booing.
How old is she?
Fuck, 17, 18?
Oh no, why is she able to? Oh no.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where, you know, why is that fair? On two different levels. Let's say anyone taking steroids in high school athletics, like that would be a no-no. You can't do it. You'd be killing, man or woman, you'd be killing everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it gives you an unfair advantage, especially knowing somebody's on steroids. Typically, you don't know people are on steroids. And I don't think, like at least when I was in high school, there was no high school steroid drug testing. There might be now.
There should be now.
They know that this is going on. These steroids are being taken and all of this shit. 18 years old. So at 18 on steroids, forget about it. Like you're smashing people. Why this is fucking allowed is beyond me. Why this girl wants to continue wrestling, she claims, you know, before he turns into he, that she petitioned to fight to wrestle boys and they said no, again, because of her birth certificate.
Okay.
And that she was forced to do just wrestle girls. And it's like, why would you want to do that at that point?
So I guess the debate is, do they just not fight at all? Because you can't win, right? Like, I don't want them fighting girls full of testosterone, but I don't want guys that have already transitioned to be fighting women. So it's like, if you're transitioning, do you just not get to fight at all?
Which I'm
cool with, because this is combat sports. Like, you can't be, a guy can't be killing girls.
Yeah.
And a girl can't be taking testosterone killing girls. If she wants to get in the ring with the guy, I'm sorry, that seems a little bit more fair to me. But
and there was an MMA fighter.
Yeah, Fallon Fox.
Fallon Fox, who tried to fight in the UFC.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan went on a tirade against it,
put
maybe
the kibosh
4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And was just like, no, You're not going to be a dude who transitioned to a woman, beat the shit out of women in the ring.
Yeah.
Because it's unfair.
I mean, he was beating fucking girls.
Killing
and
people.
Annihilating them.
And you're, because you're born.
They could kill.
You're
could
born
kill them.
With bigger bones, different physical strengths. Like,
we don't deny, like, we're not biological deniers here.
No.
Like,
Not at all. And it's one of those things where it's like, man, that it's safety, just pure safety. Like, hypothetical, let's say I had a daughter in this Texas State tournament that was going to wrestle a girl on steroids. No, the risk of injury or to get hurt would be too great when you have an opponent who's got an unfair advantage. So that type of shit should never happen. Also in the Olympics, is another one where you have all these, especially in Africa. I don't know why they're out of Africa. They're typically long distance runners, mm-hmm. and because they have more stamina.
Yeah,
the men have more stamina, and they're trying to get into marathons. Typically, there's been some other occasions where it's like the 400 meters, things like that, or hurdles. And you've had the same thing where they've busted. Shit, man, I would say 10 to 20 athletes who transition from man to woman trying to go into these World Olympic competitions and and dismantling the competition, where it's just like, hey.
Yeah.
And then they found out they were dudes later and they were like, oh, you're out.
But
you're out
of
there.
They're not fooling anyone either. But I mean, it's, if you're a runner,
some of them,
like hardcore runner.
Yeah.
Like, you, I guess the body can be, you know what I mean? Like gymnasts, you're kind of like, I guess you could pass as, I don't know.
I looked at some of those runners and there was a couple that fooled me. There
was
some that didn't, but there was some that did. And like, I know this.
Like little pigtails on the side.
Yeah. It was like Jim Carrey's Vera DeMilo character in Living Color.
Okay.
And some of the, like, you look at them and you're like, all right, this is borderline. I don't know, but they have tests, but some of them have even passed the test, where one of them was doing it for like fucking 8 years, housing people. And they didn't find out till later. So that's become a thing. And that's, by the way, this whole shit is only going to go on even more so. But one of the biggest things that's disturbing to me about this story is how you can start a transition before you're 18 years old.
Yeah, but that's the big debate. Like, that's
I don't think you know enough about the world yet, or about yourself, your body, mind, about what this really entails and how drastic of a life decision this is to do it that young. Like, man, there should be an age limit in place for that type of decision, because you don't know.
And psychiatric evaluation. So that's where, like, people like me, our big debate is, because most of the time I don't care what you do, right? But then when it's, you start killing people in the ring, you start doing, like, getting into that realm. And when you start, you know, some countries where, like, it's child abuse if you don't let your children transition, if you don't start them on hormone blockers because they said they wanted to. I think that was Canada, something, but so that's where it gets weird. Do you know Ruby Rose? She's like this hot, like, lesbian.
Yeah,
she was
on
Orange is the New Black. And she has famously come out being like, you know, I used to want, I mean, when I was younger, I didn't know what was going on. I wanted to be a boy.
Right.
Like, I'm really, really, right now, I'm really so thankful that I didn't do it, that my parents didn't let me, whatever, because I'm happy with who I am now, whatever. But yeah, back in the day, it's like, and when you're a child, like, I was a tomboy, there's like so many different changes. You are not a fully formed person until you're at least 22. I don't even think 18 is old enough to be doing, like, to be thinking about that
either.
Shit. I think there should be a major psychiatric evaluation along with an age limit, where doctors, it's illegal for them to do it unless you have, you know.
Yeah.
Same with like a boob job. I know they can do them pretty young, but I think some of them, morality wise, won't do it to a girl who's under 17. I mean, they probably push it, but stuff like that, where they will have like a kind of moral line where it's like, you can't do anything like that younger than let's start with 18. I would love for it to be older, but right?
Yeah. I believe it is 18. For like boob jobs and shit like that. But
right.
Like,
but
yeah, for to switch genders is such a massive decision that, again, you haven't a clue or even close to figuring out life, figuring out who you are as a person, all of that shit, until you're in your 20s. If you look back at, you know, who you were as a person at 17 years old, it is your thought process. Everything is entirely different than
nightmare.
Yeah. Than what it is to your 20s.
Nightmare.
Because even in your, after college, 22, 23, you at least look back on everything and you're like, oh shit, this was crazy. Or I had a different thought process about X, whatever right. that was. Like, just because you don't know any better and you don't have enough life experience yet. And it's fucked. On a few levels, this is why this story bothers me.
Putting kids, on hormone blockers, it's a lot more common than I think you even want to think about. Like, it's so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And all these videos, I know you see them on Facebook, where like these young boys are like, you know, doing makeup and like meeting drag queens, and their moms are like really behind it and like fucking fuck.
Yeah.
Live your truth, kids. But like, I get mad at the mom. Like,
yeah, it's a slippery slope where you're just like, hey, for parents to encourage kids to do anything is admirable. You know, that's what a good parent should do. But when you start getting into gender reassignment, and not being that person, or at least trying it out.
Yeah. But I know there's some cases too, where like moms like are into it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's a fun
and
thing.
Kids just want to please their parents. And so keeping that in mind, like, don't make them do anything they, you know,
don't want to do,
but they want to please you. So just keep that in mind. If you say to do something and go down this path, like 9 times out of 10, they will do it. Whatever that is.
Right.
Football, baseball, hormone blockers, putting on makeup. If they see that it makes you happy, they're going to continue doing it.
Yes.
If they see that it makes you pissed, they're not going to do it until they move out of the house. And they get therapy and they do it on their own, yeah. Which is how it's supposed to be.
And at that point, at that age, it's like, all right, great. If you're...
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Hate me. Sorry I didn't fucking give you your hormone blocker sooner.
Right.
But you can do it now if you want. Have fun.
Sorry I didn't give you your hormone blocker
sooner. Yeah, take
sooner.
Therapy. Here's some fucking... I have a fund for his therapy already.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? For all the things that I've done. Because you're always going to do something to fuck them up.
Sure.
So whatever, just figure it out.
Heather Lockery got arrested again, by the way.
No, she wouldn't dare.
I know. Crazy, isn't it?
She wouldn't dare. Crazy. That little peach, that little dove.
Boy.
That little lamb.
I have a hard time believing it. I can't believe it. To this day, there has been 2 showstoppers that have walked into in a room and everybody stopped and was like, oh my God. That's 3. That's the most beautiful woman of all time. Jesse Wiseman. Heather Locklear.
Shut up. Yeah.
And Gwen Stefani. Where saw rooms stop and every, like, thousands of people were just like, oh God. And you didn't know who it was at first because they were too far away, but there was just this aura. And Heather Locklear was the first one that I had seen in Hollywood. I was a waiter at the Emmys.
Right. And there Schwing. Was a, yeah.
What's that?
Schwing.
Yeah. And there was a governor's ball afterwards where everybody came. So the Emmys was connected to the governor's ball. Everybody came and had dinner and then went to whatever parties they were going to for that night. And Heather Locklear walked in and just dropped the room where it was just like, oh my God. And I was standing next to Jay Moore and Dennis Miller.
Okay.
And to hear those two
talk about her coming
into the room, and it was just amongst themselves, like they didn't know that I was in the background setting up a table, and they were like, oh God, Dennis Miller.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's as if the fucking queen walked in.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I feel like I should bow or kneel or something. And Jay Moore on top of him was
dirty
like,
ass.
Oh, dirty ass Jay Moore was like, oh God, I would
motorboat,
drag my balls right through a fucking cheese grater at sure high speeds to get inside the her tub to, you know. And I was like, Christ. And like, even like, I got caught up in the moment. It was almost as if a spotlight was shining on her and wasn't. And we were like, oh my gosh. And then she walked by and went to the bar, and all of us, it was like that scene in Caddyshack where they're looking at the blonde come walk into the pool and then go up onto the diving board and make the perfect dive. That's what we were all like. It was just like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with myself. It's Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
And she carried herself with such grace and
class, it seems like.
Yes. So I didn't understand, like, all of these fucking crazy stories, I didn't understand. And I was like, the first one I chalked up, it was like, she had too much champagne at a party.
Sure.
No bigs.
Do your thing, girl.
Yeah.
You do you. Hot and crazy. Love it.
Yeah. Then there was a domestic dispute at the house with, she used to date Jack Wagner, the big soap opera star.
Yes. That was brief, wasn't it?
It was a couple years, few years. But good looking dude.
Yeah.
Good looking lady. And the cops were called, and he had something like either a scratch or like a large slap or something on his, like, punched him. I don't know what it was. All they said in the police report that it appeared as if Jack Wagner was physically abused by her. And there was a large marking on his face from a physical altercation, but they didn't take a guess as to what it was. And she got hauled off for that. And was like, all right, maybe Jack Wagner was cheating on her.
Sure. Like, I don't know. We let it go
still
again. We
giving
let
her
go
the benefit of the doubt.
Sure. Cause then she got so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hot that it couldn't be, she couldn't be crazy.
She couldn't also be crazy, because that's not how it works, no, guys. Right.
Cause usually when they're so hot, it's like, hey man, the guy is lucky
classy
to have them.
Yeah.
That there shouldn't be any problems there whatsoever.
Never, yeah, never.
Then she got popped for the DUI.
Sure, and that mugshot, you thought, oh.
And I thought, well, look, having been that trashed, she still looked great in that mugshot, you know?
You think?
Still.
She looked a little puffy, but sure. Yeah,
Look, you're partying, raging. She's got to be 60 at this point. Yeah, still holding up well. Good for her.
Sure.
That's an okay, decent mugshot. Now this, she got.
But you thought, we all have DUIs.
You know,
no big.
You know what I thought? And this is totally dead honest. Malibu. She's a parent. She's a mom. Probably at a mom function. You know, out with the moms in Malibu. Maybe having a sushi dinner. They had a little too much sake. She probably took her Xanax early in the evening, and it was just like, you know. One bottle of sake.
All kinds of excuses.
I'm assuming all of this in my mind still.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Nobu, ladies, book club.
Sure.
Had a little piece of Xanax, thought she could make it home in time. Xanax kicked in too early.
Yeah.
Boom, she's all over the road.
Malibu, it's entrapment. They have so many cops there, and it's like no one really drives past.
Which is true.
That is actually true.
Malibu,
that is true.
It's got the most cops on the planet. You'll get pulled over for nothing.
Absolutely.
They're looking to arrest everyone.
Having said that, what happened
still
to
Heather gave her
Locklear
the benefit of the doubt.
What happened to her now?
She got arrested again for domestic violence. As a woman getting arrested for domestic violence. Now you're into some white trash shit where it's like,
oh, now you're
multiple charges of domestic violence. As a woman,
it took you a while, but
now you're
on the side of
long
reason
time.
Yeah,
now I think she's crazy, but like really fucking crazy.
Sure, substance abuse.
Anger
issues,
and they said in the article
trash
that it was a long history of substance abuse, and I was like, has it been like, or was she
because
partying?
Because in your mind, she's just having champagne,
a hot flirty
these
little
are,
partier.
Yeah, and these are isolated incidents, and she gets caught every time she does something.
Yes. Yeah, and it's just she's had a real bad case of bad luck.
She can't do anything wrong because she gets caught.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Bad luck.
She goes outside the line just a little bit.
Yep.
Boom.
Colors outside the line.
It's like they're looking for her.
Teacher is there to smack her hand away.
Yep.
You colored outside the line. That's what I saw it as.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to think like, hey, either she's got like a hardcore alcohol and drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's just super white trash and that's her fucking jam and how she gets
probably
down.
Probably a combination. Yeah, yeah. It's probably
I don't know
a
her background. I don't know her history. But now I'm curious is to dig into her life and find out where she's from. Like, if I start looking her up and it comes back as, hey, she was born in Panama City, Florida, or any part of Florida, for that matter, then I know she's a box full of crazy from birth. And it's like, hey, I told the story of the girl who's born in the resort town in Florida and got bit on the tit. There is something in the fucking water there, more than gators, that makes
like seasonal town
makes girls crazy in Florida.
Yeah.
Like I've never seen anything like it. And dudes, it's the same way. It's like Franco from Spring Breakers, you know, spring break. People, men and women who were born and raised in Florida, it's fucking weird. And I spent a year of my life there. My dad got transferred to right outside of Tampa, Clearwater, Florida. And so I spent one full year there, my seventh grade year. And I can tell you firsthand, like, it is fucked there. It's just a weird, weird vibe and a weird, weird environment. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's the heat.
Yeah, there's a couple different like theories and factors, right? Where it's just like, why is it so much crazy shit happens?
I don't know, but there's a lot of drugs. There's like on all aspects and like from an early age. Because like I look, my parents tried to put me in the nicest school system and all of that shit. We lived in a decent area, neighborhood. All the houses are ranch style. It's so goddamn hot every day. I really can't emphasize that. Like, you either are used to it and you're out in it, or you're fat and you stay in the house. Like, but I don't know what's with the fucking people there. So if I look and see that she's a Florida gal,
she's guess not. What?
Boom, case closed. She's not. Where's she from?
Well, even better.
Okay.
In my eyes, definitely produces some crazy. Born in Los Angeles.
Oh, fuck. Well, there's your answer.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Born in Los Angeles. Her father was a career officer in the United States Marine Corps.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Then that's strange then.
I know.
Maybe the dad was super strict and she's rebelling against the dad. Also, being that hot at an early age, like if you're in LA that hot at an early age, you know she's doing coke at the Viper Room at fucking 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, she was at a sorority in UCLA. Like, she is in the system.
Born and bred LA.
And then just started working right after that.
Yeah.
So she never had, like, she had a little bit of a normal
life. She never had a break outside of LA. Yeah.
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 She never.
There's your answer.
She never lived, like, yeah.
There you go.
LA.
That, you know what's funny? That would have been my next guess. I would have said either Florida or there. Yeah. Boom. That's it. So case closed, Judge Judy. You can't grow up there being that hot and not get producers and all that shit are probably hitting on her at fucking 14 years old.
Yeah.
And then look, going to college there, the bars, the clubs, because UCLA has had a couple campus bars.
Yeah.
Handful. There was like a little strip. They had maybe four or five good ones there, tops. We've talked about this on the show before, but like that college is mostly Asian. So for the hot girls, sorority girls, all that shit, they're going into Hollywood, which isn't that far. It's 20 minutes, 25 minutes, or Santa Monica bars. They're going elsewhere where it's like, you don't need a fake ID. You just need to be hot as hell to get in.
You're
good to go. So she had seen it and done it all probably by the point she'd graduated.
Yeah. And again, there's a delusion of like, I can get away with everything.
With everything, yeah.
And I don't need to, you know, again, get into therapy for my anger issues and my substance abuse, because even after all of the craziness, she still got like hired again on like a reboot of something. Like, she was still like fine.
Her TV, they call it TVQ. And it's something producers and executives use in the business of how famous you are on television and how audiences recognize you around the country. And it's like a set number where it's like you've been on a number of episodes.
Yeah.
They're able to look it up through ratings and all of this shit. She was number one for close to 20 years. So if you got Heather Locklear, she was the one She was the one woman who was going on these shows later on, these reboots and things like that, who was getting top dollar on the show every single time because they were lucky to have her. And for whatever reason, she resonated. Well, not whatever reason, but she was hot as hell. And but she resonated with audiences. And if she went on your show, it was an immediate ratings boost. What was it? I think she went to Spin City.
Oh, yeah.
I think she went to Melrose Place.
Mm-hmm. She was Melrose Place. Beverly
yeah, I mean,
Hills.
And she was getting top dollar over the rest of the cast because it boosted your ratings so much higher that you couldn't debate it. To this day, I think if she wanted to go back and do TV somewhere, she'd get hired along with all this fucked up shit. I still think that if she wanted to go back and be a mom, a hot mom on something, on a CW show.
You think after this?
100%. I don't think this would deter anything. I really don't. That's how high her TVQ is. And wow. She still looks good. Now, if she was fading, forget
fat,
it.
Something.
Yeah, it'd be over with. Old. And it's like, yeah, sorry. Thanks for playing. But she's not.
Natural aging. Yeah. Fuck.
So I think she'll... here's my prediction. I think she'll at some point go back and do something on television.
To pay for all this.
Yes.
Yeah.
She, I mean, look, she's had some high-profile divorces, so maybe she's set financially forever. She did fine herself, so fuck. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? Did she do well enough to afford this $100 meatball in New York City? Maybe. Okay. This one, and we talk about shit like this all the time. About these fucking $2,000 pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
And shit like this.
The like $1 million. Yeah. $1 million
this
bagel.
This one I would do.
Okay.
I would do this $100. There's a $100 meatball in New York City. And I would do it for one reason. Look it up. It looks big enough that it would be close to a full meal.
Yeah.
Close to a full meal. Therefore, I could maybe justify it of like, sure. Oh, all right. Because look, let's face it. You go out and get a piece of Kobe beef.
Oh yeah,
Kobe
that's
beef.
Like what?
Yeah, you're looking
300?
At 300. Yeah, you're looking at this. So it's like maybe I would definitely do it.
Okay.
It's at Davio's Northern Italian Steakhouse, 447 on Lex. Oh shit, that's close. We've been walked by there numerous times. Here's what it is.
Okay.
Here's what's in the meatball. That's Wagyu.
Right.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Wagyu, yeah.
Wagyu beef. Truffle cheese. Foie gras. You can't forget the foie gras.
Oh.
Winter truffles. And it's topped with a creamy shallots and champagne sauce. And it looks, there's a picture of it. It looks like the goddamn tastiest thing on earth.
It does. What is, I mean, it's strange that it's in a white sauce, no? But
it
I guess
is,
to go with all of that stuff.
It's
got to
go
weird.
With the truffles and all of that shit.
Yeah, truffle and then the truffle cheese.
It looks like the greatest goddamn meatball I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm a meatball fan. You know that. I'm a
yeah, you're
big
a
meatball guy.
For sure.
Like if we go to, because look, you pick out the restaurants wherever we go to different cities because you're
in
a foodie.
Charge.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because I
yeah.
wear the pants, obviously.
Yeah. I was just going to say, what's your inseam on those pants that you're wearing for the family?
Just because I... Whatever.
Yeah, you watch all the restaurant shows. Yeah. You know all the chefs.
Yeah.
You know what's hot, new, all that shit. And I like that. Like, I love that about you. So that way, when we go to all these different cities, you already have the restaurants picked out.
Yeah.
We're going here on Wednesday, Tuesday.
A year before we go.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, to your credit, I haven't... There's only one that I one time that I was just like, meh.
It was meh though. It wasn't like, ugh, awful.
It wasn't
just
awful.
Like, it wasn't.
It was meh. And I was like, you looked at the bill afterwards and I was like, fuck, this
That's
place
the thing.
Is way, way overrated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
you gotta
look,
go. You gotta try it.
Yeah. Out of the fucking 60 restaurants, 70 restaurants over the years, I've only had one meh. All of them,
right.
All of the rest of them have been fantastic, like lights out across the board. So like your streak continues.
I would go here and have that meatball, though.
Oh, boy.
I mean, we'd get one.
Yeah, you get one, split it, and
we
then get a normal entree.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
$100 meatball. This is one where I would say, hey, the $2,000 pizza is much. Like, if you're fucking loaded, sure, do it.
Just to say that you did, you're not going to really be like, oh, my God.
Would I recommend saving up your bank account for $2,000 pizza, no. $100 meatball, maybe. Why not? You know?
Right.
If you're in New York, fuck it. So mark this. If they still have it.
I mean, I'm down.
I
feel like I've heard of this place. Yeah.
Yeah, we walked by it. It's a 447 Lex. We've stayed and walked by there a million times. New York is, again, one of those places where I think if you live there 30 years, you probably couldn't eat at every restaurant in that city.
No.
You just couldn't.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
So overwhelming for me, especially when I go there. I'm just like, oh.
That is the one city where, because we go about 4 or 5 times a year to New York. Every time we go, you shut down of where to make the reservations because there's too many to choose from.
It's too much. And then I'll make one and then like drive by some place that I'm like, oh my God, they've got the atmosphere in every place, the storefront. I mean, everything is like,
yeah,
they get it.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong. You can.
So mark down Davio's.
Will do.
And it's an Italian steakhouse too. I wonder how their steak is. Fuck.
I bet amazing.
Like, I know.
Let's be roll.
I know. I will say this. Northern Italian steakhouse. I don't know what that is. I don't know what a Northern Italian steakhouse is. I don't believe that I've ever been to.
Like what kind of.
What classifies it as Northern Italian, I guess, and what type of steak are they cooking?
I forget the differences. I should know this.
You should know. But look, I don't know, but I'm interested in trying it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one passes my test. I'd do that one.
Okay.
The $2,000 pizza. I
no,
would
you
do
didn't
if I
want
was,
to do that one. Yeah.
If I had fuck you money and was, you know, worth $100 million, yeah, I'd get $2,000 pizza. Why the fuck not? Cause I'm sure that $2,000 pizza is probably the greatest goddamn pizza I've ever tasted.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. So I would do
but
it.
Really? Like, yeah.
You don't know unless you try it.
That's true.
You know, that the shredding truffles over things was all the rage. And I always looked at that as stupid. And then one time you had it and I was like, the greatest goddamn thing I've ever had.
Amazing.
If you could shave truffles over every single thing ever, I'm talking grilled cheese, eggs in the morning. Doesn't matter what you're going to have a taste of your meal.
Yeah.
It's the greatest.
Amazing.
The end all be all greatest.
Amazing.
Last but not least, this story is the last one I want to touch on, because if this is becoming a thing, it's fucking over. Why even do this? The new Dolce and Gabbana fucking runway show, which those things are so fucking boring looking anyways, you know, sitting in a weird warehouse with two rows of people looking at fashion models come and do things. They had drones carry their bags down the runway. If you were at that show, how pissed off are you?
Pissed, but I'm also laughing because they're trying to make some kind of like statement. I'm sure.
What's the statement on that? That robots are taking over?
Yeah, that we're getting replaced. Like, we don't even need models anymore.
You're kidding. I mean,
I would think they're always trying to make some kind of statement at those things.
Have you been around a drone like that before?
No.
They're super loud.
Loud. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And imagine fucking 10, 20 of these things. Yeah, low. In a small space. In a small room where you're like, because all these fashion shows, it's small. The area is small.
Yeah, yeah.
Buzzing by your fucking head with these heavy purses and shit. Like, nightmare. What an absolute nightmare that would be. And
it's
if that's going to become
so
a thing, just fucking call it in. Just show it online. Stream it for the world and be like, hey, this is my show. Don't invite people to that stupid shit. It's just, I mean, absolutely fucking ridiculous at that point. Let the fucking transgender wrestler come out and
but I think
tackle the drones or something.
It's kind of the same as Kanye coming out and like just tattered fucking homeless shit.
Well,
it's
I look
just like trying to make a.
Here's the weird thing I will say about Kanye and that look and that whole vibe that he like people are dressing like that now.
It's
and like
annoying.
I see it all the fucking time. And everybody looked at him as crazy. And they've looked at him as crazy for years, and which he probably is to a certain extent.
For sure he is, yeah.
But you take those, we'll start with the Yeezys. We'll start with the shoes. Those Yeezys he created for Adidas, not only do they sell out in seconds and are still, you still can't get your fucking hands on those goddamn shoes anywhere. But the sole of the shoe and the way that the mesh on them is what every other brand is now using. Like Nikes, all that shit.
Yeah.
They jacked that from Kanye.
Yeah.
Like, and there's, cause you can't patent that.
I know.
So
like, as much as I've always hated him, Always hated him.
Fucking genius. So starting with genius. Those shoes, and now Nike, because it was Adidas, I believe, who did those Yeezys. Nike switched all of their shoes afterwards to that. So that it's that mesh. It's that rubberized
that, like,
sole.
Pop-out sole. Yeah.
The pop-out sole. They're comfortable as shit. And he did that. Like, he fucking started that. These fucking... Oh God, this, and I hate to say this because I would never buy shit like this. I wouldn't, but I've seen it a lot. You know, those leather jogging pants where he was bitching about the leather jogging pants and the low cut on the legs. Have you seen those? Because all the jogging pants are becoming this low cut leg where it's like, I don't want
to
say
it. Like a wide hip to a really skinny
leg. Yeah. For it almost looks like a skinny jean type of jogging pants. Like the first time I saw that was when he did it. He did that. And now I see it everywhere. And I see people at the gym wearing that shit. I'm like,
oh yeah,
it looks so uncomfortable. Not only that, but it only comes up to like just above your ankle. So it doesn't fall over the shoe. So like you can still see part of your socks because it's kind of like right underneath your calf is where it ends. It almost looks like capris. And I've seen a bunch of dudes at my gym here in Wilmington wearing shit like that. I'm like, what? It looks so goddamn lame. Like really like Miami, like late 90s, like sure. Gay boy, like that type of vibe where I was just like, man, now that's become a thing. Kanye kind of created that. And it's like, now I see dudes in, I never would have thought a dude in fucking North Carolina would be wearing shit like that ever. You know, if you would have told me New York and LA, yes, absolutely. Sure. I could entertain that.
Those
not
losers.
Not in North Carolina. Kanye did that. That fucking tattered homeless look where, you know, with that, what almost appears to be a poncho of some sort.
Poncho with like a big, like Game hoodie. Of Thrones hoodie. Yeah. Like
everybody's wearing that shit now. And like, fucking Kanye, man. So I can't even destroy him for this shit because it's like, whether or not he's the one that's personally changing culture or people are just into it, I don't know the answer, but he's fucking doing it. Like, strange. Really fucking strange.
Well, then, you know, you never know. The drone thing might catch on. Whatever.
I just do it online is my thing of like, hey, just do these fashion shows online, stream it, and you can do your stupid shit. Don't invite people in to see your fucking drones carrying bags. Like, I can't get down with that. But what I can get down with is the revolutionary figure of the day.
Oh.
Rev figure of the day is Tommy Lee. Talked about him on the show before.
Sure.
Did a movie with Tommy Lee. Thought we were bros. Been to his house. Got invited to his house.
Sure.
Thought we were bros. Right. Saw him at a club a few months afterwards. He was beyond fucked up. Didn't know who I was.
Sure.
At all. But when I was looking up Heather Locklear, you want to take a guess at who was married to Heather Locklear? It was Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
From 86 to 93.
Yeah.
That's when we should have known. Because at the time, I read that biography, Dirt, which is the biography of Motley Crue, which is still the greatest rock book ever written, a memoir about life, because it splits them up into four. They tell their stories individually, and then all the stories are there per chapter.
Yeah.
So you get to hear it out of each of their mouths at the same time, what they were thinking, and it's different. It's totally different. Well, Tommy Lee, there was a chapter in there of him dating Heather Locklear and then getting married and shit like that and like how it kind of fucked up the band and all that other stuff. But it's like, it's Tommy Lee. We should have known back then what kind of girl she was. Still didn't think anything about it. Even in the book, it says Tommy Lee changed when he started dating her and getting married to her, where it was just like he settled down. He wanted to go to more Hollywood parties and shit with her, and that's what she wanted out of him. And he stopped doing all the crazy shit with Motley Crue and was doing shit with her. Now they were probably, I mean, just fucking out of control, the two of them together.
Totally.
So
he was into her beating him.
Yeah.
Like it was cool.
He wasn't going to say a goddamn word. But the ass that guy's been able to pull over the years is just...
It's crazy.
Really crazy.
I heard it's the unit.
He's got a hammer on him. I saw the sex tape. Did you see the sex tape?
Nah.
Yeah. It's boring.
I don't like couple sex tapes.
It's boring. But there's some really funny moments where he's on a boat and he's buck naked and honks the horn on his boat with his dick. Like he taps it on the thing to honk the horn in the boat. Sure. And he's got a hammer on him, that guy.
Yeah.
And it looked blessed and good for him.
Yeah.
So I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
But he went from Heather Locklear to Pamela. I mean, Heather Locklear in her prime.
Oh, yeah.
Prime.
Pamela Anderson.
In her prime. I mean, crushed it for years.
In their prime.
Now, he just got engaged again a couple weeks ago. Do you know she's an online personality, big social media accounts. Brittany Furlan is her name.
Yeah, I've seen videos of her. Yeah.
So I've followed her for a couple of years because she used to make these really fucking funny videos, Vines, all that shit. And just kind of dropped off. Like, her videos were boring. And she was dating somebody, didn't really say who, and then came out that it was Tommy Lee.
Hmm.
And stopped making like funny videos, all the shit. And she was like, you saw her, the pictures she posted were always at this like mega house in Malibu, and like, but it was at the pool, you know,
right.
not inside the house. So you couldn't see photos or paintings or whatever.
Yeah.
If you would have showed me inside the house, I'd be like, oh, that's Tommy Lee's house. That's the fucking sex swing.
or so the piano or whatever.
You didn't really know. And then she started putting him in videos and I was like, oh, fuck. She's dating Tommy Lee. And then she addressed it on her Instagram one day and was just like, hey guys, I'm getting a lot of hatred for I'm not funny anymore, my videos suck, this type of shit, because I'm in a relationship now. And she was like, I just want you to know that I'm happy and this is my life and what I choose, and I don't really care about the social media shit or whatever. And it was just like, oh, all right. And so, you know, her videos are just like her dogs, Tommy Lee, and like her hanging out, and it's whatever. And I just saw that he's engaged to her now. I don't know how old he is. She looks young.
I think she's pretty young. I don't know how old he is.
But
what would you...
Again, getting another one in her prime where it's just like...
Oh, yeah.
How is Tommy Lee still doing this? Because let's face it, Motley Crue hasn't been a real goddamn band.
Or a
relevant band that you care about in...
He's 55.
55. And I think she's if I had to guess, she's probably 27, maybe. Brittany Furlan?
Yeah.
I would guess.
She's like in her, yeah. She's the prime 20s.
Yeah, what would you say her age is, if you had to guess? Just looking at her shit.
Yeah, I would say like 25, 27. I can't really tell sometimes.
31.
31?
Yeah, 31.
Looking good.
Looking great. But again, that's still in your prime. And Tommy Lee at 55. I mean, still, this guy continues to do it.
Jeez, dude.
It is insane. Look, your dick doesn't get old, I guess.
I think it does.
No, I don't think it does.
Oh.
Look, you shave up your pubes. No grays, no nothing. Like, dude, your dicks can still look young. And he's still shredded. I saw him at an event with his shirt off. And look, it definitely looks like an older man. I'm not going to.
Yeah. You
know, and he's rock
like
stars.
Depp. He's like Depp, where it's like you're cross that line a little bit. Of
yeah,
like,
where you're trying too
you're
hard,
an
where it's
old
just
man.
Like, yeah.
You're still with the bandana, still with the
still
hat
dyeing
over
your
it.
Hair.
Yeah.
Still dyeing your hair and all
like,
that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you look good,
like,
but you could look like a good older man instead of like trying to fool people that you're still.
I think the best
40.
Example of it is the guitarist from Aerosmith, Joe Perry.
Yeah.
That guy aged gracefully, went gray at the right time. Still
looks
good.
Good.
Looks great.
But like looks his age.
Yeah.
Like,
and, but
that's
still like
my
a
favorite.
Pimpy fucking dude. And you're
that's
just like,
favorite.
All right, sweet. One that I think went gray too early was JBJ, Jon Bon Jovi. When he went gray, he aged himself like 50 years. Because he still looked great. His face looks young.
Really young.
His face looks young. I thought his face looks too young to go that gray.
Yeah.
He's probably sick of the upkeep of it, of getting your hair dyed all the time and all that shit.
Yeah.
But because look, I think if Tommy Lee went salt and pepper, he'd be fine.
I think he would be fine. I mean, I think Depp too. If he just like had a normal short haircut, if he just like dressed like a normal dude. He would look, he would be so hot for his age. Do you know what I mean? Not like, I just don't like the thing of like, it's do you think that we maybe think that you're still...
It's a hard 30? Line of when to transition, because you don't really know when to transition as a man from, hey, I'm going to stop looking younger and start, you know, start with whatever my age is, like that line of gray. It's we'll call it the line of gray for the sake of this conversation, because it's that gray hair is your first telltale to the world, to other dudes, to other girls that like, all right, great. I am late 40s, early 50s, you know,
sure.
When in truth, there's not a dude over 35 that doesn't have gray hair. That's just not a thing.
Yeah.
It's not a thing. It's not a thing in this world. For any listeners out there, don't feel bad if you're over 35 and have gray hair. There's not one goddamn man on this planet. But it's how young your face looks and whether or not you want to, you know, if it matches your face.
Right.
Whereas you take somebody like Matt Damon, went gray too early. Like, he still has a really young face. And like, when I see him in like interviews and shit and he's super gray, I'm like, man, you look like a fucking 60-year-old man.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's one. He's one that, or that's a cutoff where we're not thinking of him as an old man yet.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah. When you, and that's for people that aren't famous or anything, when you are at a point where you're not fooling anyone, everyone knows that you're an older gentleman.
Yes.
Whether that's like whatever, 50, 60, even 45, if you feel like you're the older gentleman. Everyone knows it in your life, in your world. And you just don't, the pretending is more embarrassing than the gray. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of like when to know when to walk away as an athlete, where you're like, because as a man, you probably still think you got it. Where you're just like, oh, I still got it.
Because Depp thinks if he puts enough fucking
makeup and all that other shit. Makeup, yeah.
Facial hair, bandana, hat, like that people will. Again, that people will what? Think he hasn't aged?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, but it just doesn't happen. We haven't gotten to that level yet.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but it's a hard
it's
line.
Same
you
with
don't,
women.
You don't know that line of gray. You don't know when to cross and when to fully transition and be like, all right, great. I'm done with trying to be the young dude at the bars. You know what I'm saying? And it's I will say this. It depends on your face, how old or young your face looks. I think is when you should make that decision. For women, it's different because you're always going to dye your hair, do things to your hair, upkeep, maintenance, you know. For dudes, it's a lot different.
But I think it's the same with women for like plastic surgery, that kind of stuff. Like there's a level where you should just be doing like an upkeep.
Right.
Where it's like keep the Botox and fillers going. And there's a point where you just need to be like, the jig is up.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anyone in pictures, in real life. Like everyone knows you're an older lady.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, you gotta just go into the older lady. Good. Do the things, do the fillers, the Botox, the whatever you want to do, but just know that, you know, just look, do it for your age. Like, I want to look good for this age. I want to look good for whatever age I'm at. Not, I want to look 20 when I'm 60.
It's 50. A tough decision. It's also a tough decision on when to say goodbye.
Oh, bye.
And it is that time in the evening, Jabes, where we must say goodbye. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night. We'll be right back.